Radio Prague News.
Prague has sent the European Commission an explanation of why it has not accepted any refugees under a quota system. Special measures will come into effect in response to an outbreak of African swine fever. And Alphonse Mucha's Slav epic should go on show at Prague's Municipal House next year. The Czech government has sent the European Commission on a statement explaining why it has not taken in any refugees under an EU compulsory relocation system, a spokesperson for the Czech Ministry of Foreign Affairs said. Thursday was the deadline for the Czech Republic, Poland and Hungary to explain why they had not fulfilled compulsory quotas for accepting refugees. Special measures are to come into effect on Friday in the Zlín region and other parts of Moravia, in response to the first outbreak of African swine fever in the Czech Republic. Hunters will be allowed to shoot all wild boar throughout the country and to hunt them using night vision goggles in designated areas in an effort to contain the spread of the disease, which does not normally affect humans. Meanwhile, all pig breeders in the Zlín area will have to slaughter their animals by the end of July, unless they have followed special hygiene guidelines. The right-wing Topo 9 party will field representatives of the Liberal Ecological Party on its candidates list in October's general elections, representatives of both groupings said on Thursday. The latter's Martin Bursík, a former Minister of the Environment, said Topo 9 shared his party's outlook on the environment, foreign policy and human rights. Among the other Liberal Ecological Party members due to stand for Topo 9 are Jamila Stahlíková, a one-time human rights minister, and Olga Somerova, a documentary maker. Alphonse Mucha's monumental series of paintings, The Slav Epic, should go on show at an exhibition at Prague's Municipal House sometime next year, a spokesperson for the Prague City Gallery said. The paintings have been placed in the gallery's depository after returning from an exhibition in Japan's Tokyo that was seen by over 650,000 people. There are no plans at present to loan the Slav epic to other cities outside the Czech Republic. Mucha helped create the interiors of the Art Nouveau Municipal House. This June was the second hottest in the Czech Republic since 1961. That's according to preliminary data published by the Czech Hydrometeorological Institute on Thursday. The average temperature last month was 18.2 degrees Celsius, a value only exceeded in the period since 1961, by the 19.4 degrees Celsius recorded in 2003. It was hotter in Moravia and Silesia than in Bohemia in June. And the weather forecast, there should be sunny spells and some rain in the Czech Republic on Friday. Temperatures are expected to reach up to 22 degrees Celsius. Saturday should see more rain before the weather clears up on Sunday. My name is Ian Willoughby and that is the end of the news. Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, the Czech government explains why it hasn't taken in refugees under an EU quota system. Archaeologists map the Leti World War II concentration camp for Romanies. And we hear about the Czech experts sharing their know-how in civilian missions all around the world. That's coming up in today's programme. The Czech Minister of the Interior, Milan Chovanec, says that the country will defend itself against Brussels' criticism that it's failed to live up to its promises to take in immigrants currently in Italy and Greece. Mr. Chovanec says that Czechs simply weren't allowed by officials in those countries to carry out detailed background checks on refugees. Chris Johnstone reports.
The Czech Republic, together with Poland and Hungary, were given a month on June the 14th by the European Commission to respond to what amounted to a last warning over their perceived failure to live up to their commitments to take immigrants from Greece and Italy. In the warning, the European Commission charged the Czech Republic with not relocating any refugees since August 2016 and failing to make any new offers to do so for over a year. Hungary and Poland had not taken any refugees at all. And Brussels challenged the trio to take immediate action to live up to their commitments or else. The sense that the Commission had run out of patience was partly conveyed by the fact that the Central European states were given just 1 month, and not the normal two, to come up with their replies aimed at stalling possible further action from Brussels. On deadline day, Thursday, Minister Chovanec said in an interview with public service broadcaster Czech Radio that he had sent a detailed reply to the Commission and would firmly refute its charge that they had reneged on the 2015 pledges to help share out 120,000 immigrants on top of the already agreed distribution of 40,000. The Czech minister said local conditions meant they simply weren't able to vet potential relocation applicants in the way they deemed necessary.
We will simply set out step by step, date by date, letter by letter, that for both the Greeks and Italians, we were not able to carry out the very detailed background investigation checks on the people that were offered to us. The Italians, for example, eventually didn't communicate with us. It will show that the whole situation was not as it should have been. I would repeat that we did not break any rules. We have been one of the most active countries as regards policing of EU borders, of the Schengen borders, and financial help. And these are the sorts of things that work.
The minister added that Italian and Greek authorities permitted only the most basic questions to be posed to refugees earmarked for relocation.
Due to the Italians and Greeks, the only check we could do on these people was to ask them the question whether they were terrorists. With that sort of security check on people in place, we simply couldn't accept them into the Czech Republic.
Under the EU share-out, the Czechs were supposed to take in 1,500 refugees on top of an earlier 1,100. At the moment, there are just 12 immigrants in Czech facilities. The European Commission will now weigh up the Czech and other responses. If it fails to be convinced, it can proceed to the next stage of the process, a reasoned opinion, and that could be followed by a final step to take the country before the European Court of Justice.
That report was by Chris Johnstone. Now, a team of archaeologists from the University of West Bohemia in Pilsen say they have succeeded in mapping out the contours of the former Leti concentration camp. Leti was used during the Second World War to imprison Czech Roma and today houses a pig farm. Dominic Yoon has more.
The painful history of the Leti concentration camp in southwest Bohemia has been slowly returning to the Czech public consciousness in recent years, despite the notorious construction of a still-functioning pig farm on a large part of the former site during the 1970s. Now, a team of archaeologists from the University of West Bohemia has completed a months-long study of the former camp, focused on an area of public land just outside the privately owned pig farm. The study, say the archaeologists, has confirmed that the foundations of the former concentration camp still exist and has allowed them to determine the precise layout of some of the camp's buildings. They also say they have uncovered a large number of artifacts belonging to former inmates. Pavel Vazeka, one of the archaeologists working on the study, explained the findings to Czech television.
The main discovery is that physical remains of the camp remain. The camp was not totally liquidated, leveled to the ground, or bulldozed. Rather, on what today is a meadow, we can find remains that can be documented archaeologically. That enables us to determine the exact location of specific buildings at the camp. For example, the administrative building, the office of the camp commander, and so on.
Umístění té takzvané administrativní budovy velitelství, kde jsme odhalili již třeba její základy.
Leti was originally created as a labour camp by the protectorate government in 1940. It was eventually transformed into a gypsy camp in which large numbers of prisoners perished as a result of the harsh conditions and disease. It closed in 1943, with many of its surviving Roma prisoners ending up being sent to the extermination camps at Auschwitz. Vazeka also said that the current study confirmed mistakes in the previous presumed layout of the camp and that the real site location was found to be a little bit more to the west. The archaeologist added that his team had also found evidence of the burning of the disease-ridden camp by the Nazis in 1943.
These burnt-out ruins offer artifacts that can directly associate with prisoners, bits of clothing and other items which allow us to better understand the day-to-day life at the camp.
The European Union, as well as Roma and other civic groups, have called for the pig farm at Leti to be relocated, so far to little avail. The Czech government is currently engaged in talks to acquire the site, with Culture Minister Daniel Herman and Human Rights Minister Jan Chvojka undertaking talks with pig farm owners AGPI over the selling price. So far, a specific offer has not been forthcoming, pig farm owner Jan Čech told Czech television on Monday. The minister says negotiations should be wrapped up during the summer and a proposal put to the government in September.
And that report was by Dominic Yoon. Now, in the final part of our programme today, we hear about the Czech experts sharing their know-how in civilian missions all around the world. That's with Daniela Lazarová.
Find them in Kosovo, Ukraine, Afghanistan, or Iraq. Czech experts have been involved in civilian missions the world over for 15 years now. They help in war-torn countries and countries struggling to make a transition to democracy, as the Czechs themselves did more than 25 years ago. The Czech Foreign Ministry recently organized a conference to mark 15 years of the country's participation in civilian missions to assess the contribution made and chart a strategy for the future. Petr Gajdušek, State Secretary at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, visited Radio Prague studio to talk about the conclusions drawn and the ministry's plans for the future.
The main conclusion of this conference was that the missions are considered to be one of the most important instruments of the Czech as well as European foreign security policy as such. The contributions can be seen in two major respects. The first aspect is a political aspect. The missions are considered as a demonstration of solidarity of the Czech Republic, as a burden sharing when dealing with the crisis and so on, and with the burden sharing with the other states as well as with those countries who actually benefit from the civil missions as such. And also it helps to increase the voice and strengthen the voice of the Czech Republic during multilateral and bilateral negotiations. And also it helps to spread the good reputation of the Czech Republic across the Europe and across the globe, of course. But also there is a security aspect. In other words, the missions do contribute to build up stability in the war zones, in specific and conflict areas as such, and it also helps to prevent the future potential conflicts.
Now, over the past 15 years, the country has sent some 250 experts to missions in 19 countries the world over. How are these missions chosen? Does it depend on what experts the Czech Republic can provide best?
Well, we send more than 300 experts currently in these countries. Well, these countries are chosen in accordance with the priorities of the Czech foreign policy, for example, Western Balkans or Eastern Europe or unstable areas in countries such as Afghanistan or Iraq. Currently, we are seeking to involve more experts to Ukraine.
You mentioned the security aspect of this. Obviously, now the big security issue is the migrant crisis and the increased threat of terror attacks. Is there an accent on this, on curbing migration, for instance, on improving the situation in certain countries?
The primary goal of these missions is to stabilize the country, to help with the reform of its authorities and so on. So the primary goal is not to face the immigration as such, but we are of the opinion that through these channels we are able to address issues that correspond and reflect the current migration crisis.
Can you say what kind of experts we're sending to what countries and what missions?
Well, primarily we send the experts in an area of justice or reform of the police, fight against the corruption, anti-corruption teams, and so on. But also we send experts who are who have a deep knowledge of agriculture, healthcare, and so on. Because, you know, the immigration, it has a lot of side effects. and we try to address these issues through sending the proper experts and professionals in their respective fields.
Now, what countries are we sending them to?
For example, Balkans, Eastern Europe, as I said, Afghanistan, Iraq, and so on.
Basically, we're sending them to war-torn countries or countries that have passed through conflicts and need rebuilding and need to build a democratic system. Is that correct?
Exactly. For example, the most important civil missions of the EU where the Czech experts are deployed are, for example, EU monitoring mission in Georgia where 13 Czech experts are deployed, EU advisory mission on Ukraine where we have 6 experts. The European Union Rule of Law Mission in Kosovo, Eulex Kosovo, where we had 22 experts, where we had 22 experts until the end of 2016, and so on. These are the most important missions currently.
How long do these missions usually last on average? I understand there are long-term missions and short-term missions.
So these missions, they take up to several years. The longest we have currently is in Kosovo since 2008. Then we have a mission in Ukraine since 2014. Then we have a short-term missions, for example, monitoring on the elections and so on, which may take up to several weeks.
So in some countries, it's a long-term commitment,
exactly,
obviously, for
exactly.
the country. And you take that into consideration when actually deciding to join such a mission.
It also largely depends on the content of the mission, on the mission itself, what is the purpose and so on.
Oh, how are these missions received by the target countries, by the locals? And how is the country's performance rated?
The perception of these missions is very, very positive. A few days ago, we had a conference on marking the anniversary, the 15th anniversary of the Czech civil missions. For example, Kanadin, who is in charge of the EU civil missions, he expressly stated that the competency and the experience of the Czech experts are of an outstanding value and are considered to be excellent. And he also expressed his wish that our experts should share their experience with those who will come in the future. So I think that the Czech experts are held in very, very high esteem. And the response we have is, I would say, very, very positive and overwhelming in many respects.
The reason I asked about the response from the locals in these different countries is that obviously you probably try to avoid the impression that it's interference. Basically, it's sharing of know-how.
Yes. Yeah, that's the point. Exactly.
Do we offer our expertise as a country that itself has undergone the transition from a totalitarian regime to a democracy? Are we involved in that at all? Because I know the Czech Republic does offer its expertise to various countries in this respect.
If you take a look at the most important missions where the Czech citizens are working or are members of, we have, for example, EU missions in Georgia, in Ukraine, in Kosovo, and so on. And you could see that we send the people or we send our experts in countries that actually are facing the same process or the same changes as we have faced or as we faced, as the Czech Republic faced 25 years ago. So I cannot say that we send or envoy our experts specifically to these countries, which do have a same historical experience. But of course, we have many experts in these fields. So obviously the demand is high and we do send them in these countries.
Which missions that we've been involved in have proved the most difficult and where have you seen the most significant results?
It's very difficult to say which mission is the most difficult because in every country where the Czech experts are present, you have many issues, many challenges and so on. And I cannot make a judgment in this respect. But few weeks ago, I had a meeting with a Czech expert who worked in the Ukraine, and he told me about the issues and the problems he's facing in the part of Ukraine, which is actually where war is waged, in a war zone, I would say, in a conflict zone. And, these experts, very often, they are risking their lives in order to help these countries. So this one specific experience showed me that there are countries where life is at stake But, you know, it's very difficult to say that some countries is more or less difficult, but in some countries, really, life is at risk.
I understand that the Czech Republic wants to increase its representation in international organizations. Can you explain why it is important to do so?
Well, currently we're drafting a new strategy on how to increase the number of the Czech citizens working for the international organizations. But I would make a difference here, because in the civilian missions, we are very successful. In this respect, we are definitely not underrepresented. For example, if you take into account that in the last 15 years, we send more than 300 experts all across the world. And if you take a look at the ratio, for example, we have one Czech expert per 500,000 people. In the UK, for example, they do have one expert per 2.5 million people. So it means that the ratio is very good when speaking about civilian missions as such. However, we are underrepresented in the international organizations. If you take into account that we are members of almost 500 international organizations and we pay substantial financial contributions, taking into account, for example, the budget of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, in some of these organizations we are underrepresented, and this is something we would like to change.
Right. Mr. Gajdusek, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you for coming to the studio.
Thank you very much.
And that was Petr Gajdusek, State Secretary at the Czech Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and he was speaking to my colleague Daniela Lazareva. For now, if you've got any comments about today's program here on Radio Prague, please do share them with us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook or on Twitter. But that's all for now, folks. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.